You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, Don, this is topical, this, because about a year ago, Don, you might remember, the Melbourne Football Club embarked on playing in a premiership for the first time since 1964, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, they're not playing in another one this year, but it's about a year on since... There's a bit of a controversy over a couple of people going over to watch Melbourne play football during the COVID crisis. And it's a bit hard for me to have my heart in this interview because I sympathise with the nonsense that went on about the COVID restrictions and this state in particular having the greatest number of deaths because they... stuffed up the quarantine and all the COVID and all the nonsense and closing the country down for no real reason because it did no good. And in fact, today we have more cases today and nothing has improved and nothing was gained by locking down the whole of this country almost. So, as I say... But we have a man in here who was part of the controversy, and so we will ask him the questions we think people might want to know the answers to, and however he answers them, and we appreciate him coming in because he's had a very trying year, and I feel for him because I don't know him well, but he's basically just an acquaintance of mine, and he, along with a man called Mr. Babbage, went over to watch Melbourne play against the COVID rules, and his name is Hayden Burbank. So, Hayden, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for coming in and doing this.
Thanks, Sammy.
I'm not sure that'd be... So, mate, you must... where would we start this?
Well, I'd like to compliment you.
Good.
Where did you come up with the idea... And how much planning went into it? Because you had to go to Northern Territory. You had to get what?
Residency.
You had to get a license.
Bank account, driver's license.
All of this stuff to get down to Perth. Now, how much planning were you? Is that your idea or somebody advised you?
Oh, no, it was an idea that we came up with. It was spur of the moment. I saw a little loophole and... managed to get on a plane up to Northern Territory. The thing that really buried us and got us into the trouble was the forgery. We forged a lease and changed our driver's licenses up in the Northern Territory.
But hang on, can I bring you back? You said spur of the moment. God, like Melbourne, what, you had...
We won the prelim. I was caught up in the wave of emotion and I saw a little loophole to get to Northern Territory that was going to be able to get me to Western Australia. So I needed to get up to Northern Territory, change my license and pretend I was a Northern Territorian.
So you've paid the price, Hayden,
yep.
and you're not divulging anything that people haven't already known, but... I say I find it hard for me to have my heart in actually asking these questions because I suggested at the height of this, just on this very podcast, I didn't suggest it, but I said if anyone like 250,000 people are ever going to march up Flinders Street and to the steps of Parliament House over these draconian things that the Premier brought into knuckle this state down where you couldn't leave your home for more than 2 hours, you couldn't go out, you couldn't go to the supermarket. If anyone was going to complain about this in this day and age, about a COVID thing that I had the police come and say to me, was I organising a march? And I said, no, I wasn't organising a march. I said, but if anyone was ever going to, I could understand why they would. And then I went to Parliament House and stood on the steps when he said you couldn't play golf. I mean, for God's sake, out in the open. I mean, it would just... So I can understand why you might have thought... I can understand, Hayden, why you might have thought, well, God, geez, what would it matter going around ways and getting over to watch my football club play? I know it's probably against the law, but against what law? Who brought all that in the first place and what justified it? So having said all that, you've paid the price for it, mate, in business and probably personally, and... I just want to know what do you how has the year been for you? You're a not a high profile person, but you're a very successful person, and you're out there, and suddenly probably your life's changed in a year that you would not want it to have changed in any that in that regard, Hayden.
Yeah, look, no doubt it's changed a little bit, getting a little bit of media attention that I didn't need. but yeah, look, I brought that on myself. Took some time off, went overseas for a bit to try and sort of, just adjust, which certainly helped. But yeah, other than getting asked all about it quite often,
has it had an effect upon your business?
No, not really. No. I've actually had a few people come in wanting to meet me, which is,
giving you a higher profile. Has there been ramifications as a result?
For us, yeah. Neither of us can be directors for 5 years of a company. And Mark actually got really whacked over the head. He's because he was in the accounting and planning industry. He can't work in that industry for 10 years. So he really copped a big whack.
So in reflection.
On reflection.
Oh,
yep.
On reflection.
Yep.
Would you have done it any differently? Because I'm going to come up with something from a little bit from left field. Would you have done anything any different?
I might not have gone in the changing rooms afterwards.
Thank
That's
you.
Probably the thing that got me.
Yes.
Or I might have worn a mask with Sammy Newman's head on it in a changing room.
Yes. I wondered, watching that, I saw you out on the ground. Who the hell is this? Now, this is me watching... Yeah. Then I see you in the rooms. Who the hell is this? And you kind of drew
attention. No, I got caught up in the wave of emotion. It was full on. Yeah, we had a few beers after half time. I never drink at the footy, ever.
You would have got away with it.
At half time, I was absolutely packing. And the boys have been drinking for like 2 hours before the game, and I just got sucked in. And
hang on, boys, what do you mean?
There was a number of us at the game.
So, okay, hang on. So there's a number, from Melbourne over there?
One other guy, Babich, that did it with us, and we had some other mates that was with us that came illegally from Queensland.
Legally?
Oh, yeah, legally.
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 Hang on, legally, illegally?
Legal.
Legally.
How could they do it?
Well, we'll ask.
They've been in Queensland for most of lockdown.
And they were allowed to...
Hang on. Queenslanders were exempt, were they?
Yeah.
Really?
So they went from Queensland to Northern Territory for 2 weeks. They had to stop in Northern Territory. So we rendezvoused in Northern Territory.
So Hayden, they legally could do that, and you thought, well, we will go up there and make it legal as well.
Correct.
But because you forged forged some documents, that was what your undoing was it?
Correct.
Yes.
But wouldn't they have to do exactly what you did, the Queenslanders?
Well, they did.
They were there, though.
They were already in Queensland during lockdown.
Yes, got
that.
They got
out of Melbourne in time.
Yes, got all that. Yep. Yeah, I understand that.
Well, Hayden didn't.
Wouldn't they do the same process of what Hayden did to get into Perth?
Yeah.
So why weren't they ostracised or picked up?
They did it legally.
Because
they were in Darwin for 2 weeks prior to going to Perth.
So were you, weren't you?
No.
Oh, I see.
No, I was there for 12 days.
Oh.
And I missed it by 2 days.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. So honestly, so, all right, well, you actually broke the law, but seriously, when you think about it, if someone can legally go from Queensland because they qualify for the days... quarantine or whatever, and yet it's pretty pedantic stuff. And I know they did the wrong thing, but gee whiz,
so they
it's
really
a hell of
got
a penalty
you on
a, to play.
A technicality, it wasn't, oh, you are jail for breaking a COVID law, it was because you did other things. Is
that
right? Yeah,
I was 2 days shy of doing the quarantine, basically. But yeah, technically I shouldn't have gone to Darwin either, but, you know.
What was the experience?
We were both double vaccinated. We got tests before we left Melbourne. We got tests before we left Darwin. Pretty confident we didn't have it, but there's no certainties. But yeah.
So Mark did time as well for 3 months?
Yeah, he did 3 months with me the whole
time. So in Hakea, yep, in Perth?
We're both together the whole time.
Okay, so then would you have been pulled up by the Northern Territory authorities for doing what you did?
Yeah, we got charged as well. We went to court as well.
So what happened there?
You got a six-month suspended sentence.
Six-month suspended sentence, yeah.
So what's it? Hang on, I don't get this.
So for 12 months, we've got to be of good behaviour.
I understand all that. But what about, that's not as severe as what you got in Perth.
No, I think they
Just tried to make an example
of you.
Why was there a difference? You did a worse crime, in my mind, in Northern Territory than you did in Perth. So why wouldn't the Perth authorities...
Because it was...
Northern Territory authorities go harder on you or just as hard.
Got the Premier Mark... Whatever his name, what's his McGowan? Is he the Premier?
I think
honestly, they're on a rampage of projection. It is
well, their sentencing is a lot more severe than the other states. And experiencing jail and speaking to inmates and becoming friends with a lot of inmates and hearing their stories, their sentences are more than double the rest of Australia. They're a police state. It's pretty full on. So and you know, after spending time in there, and you hear everyone's stories. The first thing they ask you when you go into jail, what are you in for? How long are you in for? They didn't ask me the first question because everyone knew who I was. Every single person's got a TV in jail, so everyone watches the news every single night, so you know who's coming into jail. And you know, they didn't need to ask me that question, but they obviously said, how long did you get? 3 months. And it was like, oh mate, you'll be out in no time. You know, don't sweat it. You know, I asked these guys what they did, and hearing their sentences was just astronomical. It's like, you know, your heart really felt for them, and the 3 months really didn't seem a lot after hearing their stories. So you sort of quickly sort of didn't bring up the 3 months or have a whinge about your sentence after hearing some of these stories, because it's pretty full on over there.
So when you say pretty full, you were in with...
The worst.
Pretty hardened criminal.
Hang on, that's ridiculous.
Of course
my
it
experience,
is.
My experience, you know, I used to do jail for this. What, they put you in with hardened criminals?
We're in maximum security in Hakea.
What?
In general population for the first 3 weeks. Then after we're sentenced, we went to what's called minimum security of a prison farm.
Yep.
But that's still the worst of the worst.
You know, just on the prison farm?
Yeah, prison farm sounds all nice and cozy, but it's still for instance, my cellmate, I won't go into details, but he'd been in jail for 11 years, but he was of good behaviour, and they sent him to the prison farm, but he was, you know, he was one of the big boys of the prison farm. He was a very influential type.
And were you intimidated by these people, or were
Absolutely.
You set upon by, or were you tampered with, or were you...
But you were certainly... You watched every single word you said. Occasionally slipped up and you got sort of quickly warned to pull your head in.
Like what? Like saying what?
Well, you just can't say the word dog.
Oh, yep.
And occasionally that word would slip out and it was, you know... People that use that word regularly were sort of dealt with sorts.
Yeah. You just weren't dealt with in any way?
No, that was pretty all right. There were some sketchy moments, but I don't really want to go into
the specifics,
but yeah. You were walking on eggshells, and it was basically a game of Survivor in there. You had to form allegiances, all that sort of stuff.
Did you?
100%.
Had to form allegiances with these?
It was the greatest game of Survivor of all time.
Yeah.
That's how I describe it.
It's very basic, isn't it?
Very basic.
Very, very basic.
So, Hayden, how did you... How did you get the tickets? Who did you get the tickets from to go there and be?
I had a membership that had a grand final guarantee, so I bought the tickets legit
from Melbourne before you did this.
Yeah.
So you didn't. They didn't. Whoever you bought the tickets from didn't say to you, "Well, you qualified to go over there," or they just gave you the tickets, did they?
No, part of the Melbourne Football Club membership that I had, the premium tier, had a grand final guarantee to it. I just bought it online on Ticketek, like everyone else.
And
we bundled up our barcodes and bought it as you would. No one's asking questions on.
It says that you attended the Crown's AFL Eve luncheon.
Yep.
Who gave you the tickets for that? Did the AFL give you any tickets for that?
No, nothing to do with AFL. I had a friend of a friend, and that's about all I'll say about it.
A friend of a friend, not.
I'm
certainly not going to put my mate in.
No.
Okay, what about the wristband? Did he give you the wristband?
No.
So how'd you get the wristband?
Completely different. It's a very good question, Don.
So the rumour is floating, and I'll. You know, this was the rumour going around at the time. You're well connected, very, very high up at the AFL.
No, definitely wasn't the AFL.
You're a Facebook friend.
I know where you're going. It's not Gil McLaughlin. It's not anyone to do with the AFL. I can guarantee that. I swear it on the Bible. On my father's death, who just passed away, it wasn't anyone in the AFL.
Good. Well, that's cleared that up, Don, because that was I thought that maybe they were the AFL might have been complicit in it.
No, 100% wasn't.
Good. So that's good.
Now, can I ask you another obvious question? How did you get caught?
Look, obviously I was in the changing rooms afterwards. Shouldn't have been in there. I initially went in there with a hat on trying to...
Yeah, we know all that, but...
I was getting a few photos with some players.
Yes,
and
sure, all
the
that.
AFL Instagram photographer was taking a photo on a side on when I was getting a photo. They posted that photo in a collage of photos onto the AFL Instagram, and someone saw it.
So someone snitched on you, did they?
Someone snitched me.
Do you know who that was?
I do, but I won't go into
it. No, fair enough.
It is what it is. They've got to live with their choice. They rang the Herald Sun. The Herald Sun rang the police, and I actually got the heads up that night that they were.
And man or woman who snitched on you, they were there legally working in a capacity.
No, they saw the photo on.
No. They weren't there at all.
They saw the photo online.
Oh, from here.
They saw the photo on the AFL Instagram.
Oh, I see.
They were in Melbourne.
I beg your pardon.
It wasn't a wag.
That was the rumor.
Was it a wag?
That's the rumor.
A wag. Wife or a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Was this someone vindictive getting back at you?
The rumour is it was someone that was jealous that they couldn't get to the grand final to watch their...
Dear God.
That's just a rumour.
Just a rumour. Now, Hayden, so you run a
restaurant cocktail bar.
Called Morris Jones.
Yep.
And I looked up Morris Jones. Morris Jones is a actual person.
He built the building in 1887. Morris Jones built the building in 1887. He was a...
US TV journalist.
That's something completely different.
Is it?
Yeah. Morris Jones was a councillor back in the day on the Parramatta Council.
Jeez, he was a clown.
I looked up Morris Jones.
Don't go to Wikipedia all the time.
I looked up Morris Jones.
It's a heritage building. He built the building, and it's got his name adorned on the facade.
Fantastic.
And he was a prominent businessman back in the day.
So you own the business.
The business, correct.
And it's called Morris Jones because that's the name of the...
Correct.
I thought Morris Jones had given you a... The man who's the US TV journalist had given you a license to run the business. Oh, holy mackerel. That's fantastic.
Have you done many of these interviews? I haven't seen... It just went quiet. I haven't seen any papers or anything.
I did a bit of a tell-all interview with the Herald Sun. That's basically it.
How long ago was that?
Maybe 3 months ago.
Oh, so I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Yeah.
So what have we got from you? So what you so what did you say to them that you haven't said to us? Or what have we asked you that they didn't ask you? Nothing.
Same, but different.
Look,
one thing I did say, I regret my actions. I shouldn't have done it. I take ownership for it. I got caught up in a wave of emotion at the time. Obviously, I'm a fanatic Demons fan.
Yeah.
I saw the 2000 Premiership where we got belted by the Hawks, record margin. Saw the Essendon Grand Final where, again, 50-plus points. I played football till I was 40 in the amateurs and never played in a Premiership. I just thought I was cursed. My football team was cursed.
Who'd you play for, old Carey?
The Ogs in the amateurs, old Geelong. So, I just thought I was cursed. I was in the cheer squad as a kid up until the age of 15. I held the banner up in the 87 Grand Final. I just got caught up in a wave of emotion. I knew we were going to win it. I just had this gut feeling that we're going to win it. My first ever jumper was number 5 when I was 5 years old. My dad gave me this footy jumper with a number 5 on it. I said, "Who's number 5?" He goes, "No," and he's a pretty shit player. But
you're John Gallus?
I think it was Henry Coles.
Henry from Collingwood.
Henry Cole.
I think John Gallus wore it. I played against John Gallus. I remember number 5. And
anyway, but this year, the last year, when Petrarca was absolutely, greatest player in the competition, all the stars were aligning for me. I just had this feeling that we were going to win it. He was going to win the Norm Smith, which he did. And I caught up in this wave of emotion, like I said, and had to get there.
So you've embarked on, you've hatched up this pretty intricate
plan
to get there, and you've got there. And if we, being reasonably honest, the last laugh's been on you in some sort of way, because you actually saw Melbourne win a premiership, which most of the other fanatical people over here weren't allowed to even go to the football. And now there's 90,000 every week at the football, 10,000 cases a day, and no one could give us stuff. And it is so ironic. It's extraordinary. And you've paid the ultimate price because you did the wrong thing. But holy mackerel, when you look back on this in years to come, they'll think, God almighty, what sort of country were we living in? Because it did. It made no difference at all to the pandemic and the nonsense and the lies they told us about what's going on is just extraordinary. So, but it has, obviously, I don't know you very well, but I've got a feeling it's affected your life. You wouldn't get over that in a hurry, I wouldn't think, Hayden.
Yeah, I didn't need to sort of experience the joys of Hakea prison. Look, it's affected me a little bit, but
In what way has it affected you?
Oh, just stuff you see in jail that, you just don't need to. You don't need to experience that sort of stuff.
And some people probably gravitate to you because they feel sympathy for you, and others think you've probably done the wrong thing.
I've had a mountain of support, more than I could have imagined, which has been great. I've only had the one person that I've encountered say anything negative. That was, it was more like, "You've done the wrong thing." It wasn't even that harsh, but I'm well aware that there's some people out there that are really passionate that I broke the rules, and that's fair enough. I do apologise and feel bad. I understand the risks that I could have caused, but yeah.
Yeah, the risks. What of giving COVID to people or taking across the border?
Yep.
Mate, honestly, when we look back on it, the draconian conditions we put on people to live in this country after it was extraordinary. And you have a look at this state in particular, the nonsense that went on here, the lies they told, the misinformation, the bullshit they carried on with by genuinely low IQ people who had no idea what they were talking about, but just thought they'll make a big name out of themselves for looking as though they were doing something. And they've done nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's only my opinion. So your business is not affected. You're allowed to run that still?
Well, I've had to put the business in my... Well, I have to make my mum the director, so she's now the director, which is...
So legally that's okay to do that?
She's a licensee. Yeah, that's all done legally.
Yep. So that's knocked you about.
Yeah, that is what it is.
yeah, but in time is, you know, it's a cliche thing, time is a great healer. And I would say, my friend, in 10 years' time, I can't see Melbourne winning another premiership. So you might be, in 10 years' time, saying, well, I witnessed the only Victorian to witness Melbourne play in their last premiership.
Yeah, on the quiet, there might have been a few more over there than was let on. But
oh, really?
Yep.
Oh.
But, yep.
Oh.
No, Hayden. I know you're not tipping anyone in, but you said there's a few more people than you that were over there when they shouldn't have been.
There was a lot more, Sammy.
Yeah.
I've had quite a few people message me going, we were there as well. There was a lot
so
more.
Did they say how they got in?
By car, by...
What, across the border?
Yep. I've heard a million stories, so...
So Hayden, you were singled out by someone being a little vindictive about you, and you've paid the ultimate price for it, where...
There were two other guys caught as well. They didn't get the media. There was a guy from Frankston that was caught. He spent time in jail with us. There was another Bulldog supporter that was caught before the grand final. We spent time together in Hakea. He was staying at the Crown, walked to the ground, was about to go in, realised he'd forgotten something back at the hotel, went back to the hotel and the police nabbed him before the game. So he got chucked in jail, but he didn't get sentenced because the magistrate's justification was that he didn't go into the ground where there were 60,000 people that he could have put at risk. So he got off.
It's extraordinary. So you, I didn't hitherto before this know any of that. Yep. So you're the only person that they've highlighted. Why is that? Because
I think it was immediate attention.
You having a higher profile.
Higher profile, all that sort of stuff. And look, fair enough. They needed to make an example of us. It is what it is.
Can I ask you a question completely off this? You've experienced jail. As I said to you before, I did work in, and I mixed with them. They come out and they attend a show. They marshal at a show at one of the shows that I go to. They help
Horse shows.
Yes, agricultural show at Mitchell. I'll tell you the town, and I sit down and we just chat. Is there any place for jail in our society?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. After experiencing it and going through it all, you know, I was one of those people previously that, you know, you watch the news and you sort of always have your opinion on, you know, this guy should have got that sentence, that guy should have got that sentence. You always pretty stern and opinionated and strict, I think. I was, you know, had my opinions. But experiencing it and living it, I've certainly sort of, my opinions have changed on sentencing and lengths, because, you know, I was in there for 3 months, but it seems like an eternity, an absolute eternity while you're in there.
Why? Because you weren't occupied mentally?
No, because you're locked up for three.
Every single second of the day, all you think about is, I want to get out, 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 I want to get out. Guys walk around the gym screaming, I have to get out of here. Got to get out of here. It drives you mental. Like, people just walk down the hallway screaming. It's just screaming. I want to get out. I got to get out.
So, Hayden.
It's one day is enough in there. You know, a week seems like forever. A month is like a year. It just, you know.
So it is absolutely a deterrent, the threat of jail, because you would no more think of doing it again for any other reason other than you might would be incarcerated again.
Very well behaved for the rest of my life.
Yeah, because in case you're incarcerated,
other people might not not so, but I never want to step back in a jail ever again.
So are you in contact still with Mark Babbage?
Yeah, we're good friends.
Okay, and he would reflect on it, not wishing you to speak for him, but he would reflect on it a bit like you. That,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
It is amazing. So Don said that just as we were speaking about this in another segment on this, he said, "Well, Melbourne," he said, "they weren't hungry enough this year." He said, and I said, "Well, that's nonsense." And Don said, "No,
emotionally involved is what they should have been."
Yeah, I said, "If you win a premiership once since 1964, you probably would like to try and do it again." But he thinks that they dropped off the.
Well, we were flying up until round 11, then Tom McDonald went down, and I think the wheels fell off after that. We got a few injuries, banged up. Petrarca was banged up. You know, there was rumours Gorn was carrying an injury, or, you know, the second half of the year. I don't think we weren't invested. I think we'll come back next year, potentially even with a better list.
And then the coach got a bit tailed up because he started celebrating after it. And we said, "Well, God, if you couldn't celebrate after 1964, it was the last time you won." And then they all jumped on him, and you didn't celebrate with him at all, did you?
No. I caught up with him in the rooms very briefly, but I didn't go to the after parties. But yeah, he's got the right to celebrate.
Absolutely. 100%. Well, Don, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about all
well,
this?
Well, we all get a, you know, as with a lot of stories, and it's you've shown a lot of courage coming in. I don't know what exposure or how you cleared it with the newspaper interview with the Herald Sun, but today you've enlightened me, as I was under the impression that you and Mark Babbage were the only two to go across. But there are a lot of other people. Now, that has never come out.
And I don't know the authorities know as well.
The authorities, what did you say?
The authorities know.
Are well aware of how many people came in.
Really?
Yeah.
So you've been set up beautifully. You've been made a scapegoat. You've been made because you're the bon vivant, the man about town. They thought, no, we'll clip you. And I tell you, that's it is. Mind you, I've had this opinion even before I knew you or met you. I thought, holy mackerel, how can you do this to someone? What law have you broken, Don? I mean, a law that's made up on the spot. Anyhow, we probably won't get you to comment on that. Any other thing we want to ask?
I'd just like to know where the ribbons came, the little wristbands came from, but all you're pointing is to the sky, and it means that comes from someone very, very high up.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the AFL, he said this.
Definitely wasn't AFL, but wasn't anyway.
Well, we could speculate on that, Don, where that came from. Hayden, thanks for coming in.
Yes.
I know this is not easy and you're a bit worried about it, but shit, it's only life we're talking about at the end of the day. And I know you're worried about speaking about Mark Babbage before. I know you didn't say anything about Mark Babbage. You haven't. But anyhow, thank you very much for coming in and doing this. And
why did you? Can I ask you one question? Why did you do it? Why did you come in and be interviewed?
Oh, look, obviously I'm good mates with Sammy's son, and I've been asking for a while. And
well,
you wouldn't do it because of that friendship. Why did you? Why did you?
I'll tell you why, Don. Because I asked Mark. I tell you, you wouldn't know this. When another person was here that was doing the panel here, the Rocket. When it happened, I rang the solicitor in Perth that you had retained or was given to...
Acted on our behalf.
Acted on you. I rang him up and I said, could I speak to your client? Could I interview him? And he said, no, you couldn't. And I said, well, why not? And he said, I'm not a media... I said, I'm not a great fan of the medias, he said. I said, well, that doesn't matter. I said, why could I... I'm asking you officially, could I speak to him? He said, no, I couldn't. And he said, and anyhow, he has to go up to the Northern Territory thing was still going then, he said, so he didn't want to jeopardise anything that was going on. So I've asked Mark Hayden to come on twice, and in fairness to Hayden, and I appreciate this, he contacted my son Jack, and he said, look, just in case I hear about it, he said, Campbell Brown, I did a small interview with him, and if he thinks that I've done that instead of coming in here. And I said, well, mate, I appreciate you saying that. Well, come in and have a chat to us. And he's done that, and I really appreciate his...
And I take my hat off to you too.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And I think we've probably asked you exactly the same questions that the Herald Sun did, and that maybe Campbell Brown asked you, but we've learned a couple of things about other personnel being over there, and you cleared up the fact where you got the tickets or where you didn't get the tickets, and that was interesting to know, because we wanted to know if was anyone else complicit in it. So we really appreciate you coming in, and we wish you all the best, Hayden, because that'd be a pretty hard thing to live down. But as Don said, time is a great healer, and in the end, in three or four years, you'll look back and say, what a joke all this was. So thank you very much indeed.
No worries. Thanks, gents.